Our scripture reading, as was read, it comes from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And here at the Fallbrook Church, we've been studying the seven churches. And this is the church, or this is the message to the church in Sardis. And the one who speaks to the church in Sardis is none other than Jesus himself. Amen? I know that as the scripture reading was being read, I could sense this feeling of, wow, this is a tough message. This is a difficult message to say that you have the name of someone who is alive, but you are really what? Dead. It sounded like when I was a kid and I was in trouble, and my mom would, you know, she would say things in a different tone. She would get my attention. I was listening. And this voice doesn't sound like Jesus. Doesn't sound like his words of love and mercy. This is what we would probably categorize as tough. Love. Is that still love? It is still love. And I know that the times my mom spoke to me in those words, those tones, it was because she wanted my undivided attention. There was something important that she wanted to share. And it was so important that she needed to get my attention from whatever else I was doing. It describes Jesus as he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, and you are dead. Describes Jesus as having the seven stars in his hands. And this description is also found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 presents Jesus as holding the seven stars and the seven candlesticks. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. I want to be in Jesus' hand. I want to be there because that's where I find life. That's where I find protection. That's where I find security. It's in Jesus' hands. Why be anywhere else? He holds us in his hands. And he was holding Sardis in his hands. This church that was in a very well-known city of the time. 600 years prior to the writings of the book of Revelation, this was one of the wealthiest cities of that time and that area. By the time the book of Revelation had been written, it wasn't as wealthy, but it still had the wool industry and the dye industry where people would buy their garments, where they would buy clothes, where they would buy material to make those beautiful dresses. That was Sardis, known for their industry. But God was telling this church, your deeds have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. In other words, Sardis, you're just going through the motions. You're not really there. You're not doing the works that I'm calling you to do. Do we know of any Bible characters in Scripture that were just going through the motions? I think of Balaam, a prophet of God. But his focus was on what? Money. And he thought he could have the best of both worlds. And God told him, no. If you're going to speak, you're only going to speak what? My words. My words. Samson, was he only going through the motions? He was only going through the motions. Again, he was a judge for the people of Israel. He had received a special gift of strength. But he was using it for his own what? Benefit. In the New Testament, we have a disciple of Jesus by the name of Judas. Was he only going through the motions? Only going through the motions. And it's tempting. It is tempting sometimes for us to just go through the motions. Is life difficult, brothers and sisters? Life is difficult. And who knows what 2014 will bring. But the invitation of Jesus is not just to go through the motions, but to truly engage, to truly live. Do children want their parents to just go through the motions? They don't. Do bosses want their employees to just go through the motions? No. They want them to be engaged with what they're doing, to do it with the best of their ability. And I look at this message, message to a church that in many ways might have been a church that had lots of members. It might have had a great account, bank account, doing great projects. But they were doing it all for who? Themselves. Jesus said, your name is that you are alive, but you are dead. But I praise God for a God who sees our condition and he still says, wait, there is hope. Amen? There's hope. There's a solution for that condition. In verse 2, we find, wake up and strengthen the things that remain. In some of your versions, watch. And it reminds me of the words of Jesus to his disciples. Watch and pray. The idea of being awake, of being aware of your surroundings. I remember my mother, she would say, Sam, pay attention. Watch. When you're crossing that street, there are cars that are coming. Don't be looking at that bird over there or the person who's talking over here. Pay attention. Be aware. It can save your life if you pay attention. And Jesus was telling this church, wake up, pay attention, look at what's happening, and strengthen the things that remain. There's still some good in you. There's still some things that you know. Strengthen them. We know that what we don't use, we what? Lose. I was sharing with Brian something that happened to me this week. I decided to go to the gym. All right. Use some muscles. So you might ask, what muscles, Pastor Sam? What muscles? Well, they're there. And I just have to exercise them, that's all. I went out and worked out a little bit. Then I thought, I'm going to hit, you know, the court with racquetball and just, you know, try some of these shots that I see. Some of you do very well, those corner shots. And so I was there all by myself. You know, that wasn't too hard. Pow, pow. And somebody just came and sat and was watching me as I was playing by myself. And I saw the person watching me, so I stepped out and said, oh, do you want to play a game? And he said, yes, but be nice to me. You know, don't play too hard. You know, and I said, oh, no problem. I'm a beginner too. So I found out he has an A game. So I was running back and forth trying to find that little ball. And I asked him, so what's the score? 4-9? He goes, no, it's 4-14. And he had the 14. I was the 4. I was sweating up a storm. And I felt like I was literally going to pass out. So I politely, nicely said, I quit. Sorry, it's over. And I stepped out of that court. He looked at me and he said, you're not used to using some of those muscles, that's all. And I thought about it. It's true, what we don't use, we lose. We lose. And spiritually speaking, what we don't use, we lose. This is why Jesus invited his disciples to stay awake, be aware, pray constantly. The battle is hard. It's difficult. And if we're not constantly connected to God and His Word, we will lose. We will lose. Continued saying to this church, for I have not found your deeds completely in the sight of my God. I have found not your works perfect. And you and I might say, well, who's perfect? Who can do anything right the way God wants us to do it? Is that even possible, brothers and sisters? It's only possible in who? In Jesus, in Christ. In Christ. We are a new creation. In Christ. We are seen by God as righteous. In Christ. We are forgiven. No debt. In Christ. Our deeds, our works. There they can be perfect. In Christ. So Jesus, speaking to Sardis, says, remember, therefore, keep this in mind. Don't forget what you have received, that gift of life, that gift of forgiveness, that gift of righteousness that came to us through Jesus Christ. That gift that you have heard. And keep it. Hold on to it. This world will take it away from you if you let him. This world will make you think there's something better out there. And before you know it, you will feel ashamed. You will feel naked. So Jesus invites Sardis to remember the things they have received and heard, and to keep it and to repent. Praise God that there is still the ability to turn around. Amen? We still have that. Still given to us. We can still repent. And if Jesus was talking to this church in these words, it's because there was still hope. Verse 3 tells us, if therefore you will not wake up, if you will not watch, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Where have we heard Jesus use that before? I will come as a thief in the night. When he was talking to his disciples about his second coming, he told them to what? Watch. For no one knows the day or the hour. Watch. And here Jesus invites the church of Sardis to watch, to stay awake. If not, he will come to them like a thief. He will come to them when they're not ready. It will be a surprise to them. This verse is also found in Revelation chapter 18. And if you have your Bibles, please open it to Saint 18. Actually, it's chapter 16, verse 15. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. And it says there, "Behold, I am coming like," what? "A thief. Blessed is the one who stays," what? "Awake," or watches, "and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked, and men see his shame." I want to stop here a little bit and talk about garments. Are garments important? They are important. I remember taking a class in school. This was in college. One of my teachers was teaching us New Testament ethics or biblical ethics. It was an ethics class. And he talked about clothing and the importance of clothes. Well, why do we wear clothes? If we don't, we feel naked. We feel vulnerable. But clothes keeps us warm, especially in the wintertime, doesn't it? Yes? Clothes can also, in some cases, give us a little bit of status. If I go to the bank with a tie, I notice people treat me differently. They do. And here, clothes is seen as something important. In fact, in one of the parables that Jesus shared with his disciples regarding a banquet, he said that a king had made this beautiful banquet for his son who was getting married. And he invited his family, his friends, to come to the banquet. And every one of them found an excuse why they couldn't go to this banquet. One of them said, "I just bought some land. I need to go see it." Another one said, "I just bought some oxen. I need to take care of that." Another one said, "I just got married. I'm sorry, I can't come to this banquet." So the king said, "Invite everyone who's outside. Just invite anybody to come in." And in those days, the kings would send these messengers with a special gift, with some clothing that they were supposed to use for the wedding. And when everybody was seated, he saw somebody who what? Did not have that special garment. And you know what happened to that person? He was thrown out. He was asked to leave the banquet. He was startled, surprised that somebody had come in without that special garment. In the book of Revelation, chapter 18, we see another banquet scene. Revelation, chapter 18. I'm sorry, it's Revelation, chapter 19. Verse 7 and 8. And it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in" what, brothers and sisters? "Fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is" what? "The righteous acts of the saints." You might think, "Well, Pastor, that's not me. I don't have white garments. I don't have clean garments. My garments are soiled from the things of this world." I praise God that He is merciful. Amen? And can He clean those garments, brothers and sisters? He can clean them. There's a passage in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 3, talking about a high priest, a religious person, somebody who was supposed to keep his garments clean. He was supposed to watch carefully because he represented God before the people, and he also represented the people before God. But Zechariah, chapter 3, tells us, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my commandments, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associate seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant the branch." And you know who the branch is? Jesus. Jesus. He can make our garments white as snow. He can. He can cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He can forgive the sins that we think are unforgivable. And he wants to give you a new garment. The people in Sardis knew everything about garments. But this garment that Jesus was offering them, they had never seen in the industry. They had never seen in any store. They had never seen anyone who had this garment. And if we go back to the passage in Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to be finishing up this section here. Revelation chapter 3. Sorry. Verse 4. "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled what? Their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." For they are worthy. In Scripture you find Noah walked with God. In Scripture you find Abraham walked with God. In Scripture you find Isaac, Jacob walked with God. Say your name in your mind. Say your name. In my case, Samuel. And can you imagine the other parts saying, "He walked with God"? Can you see your name on that list? You might say, "I'm not worthy of being mentioned among these great men of old." But the Bible tells me that those who keep their garments unsoiled, they will walk with Jesus in white. For they are what, brothers and sisters? Worthy. They are worthy. And why are they worthy? Because they've been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 5 tells us, "He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He who overcomes. It's a battle zone. And the battle zone is not only in Afghanistan. It's not only in Iraq. The battle zone is here in Fallbrook. It's right here. There's a war that is taking place. And many are dying because they are only going through the motions. Only going through the motions. But not engaged with the only one who can make us righteous, Jesus Christ. The promise, he will clothe us. He will put on that cloth of white garments on us. He will not erase our names from what book? The book of life. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 says, those who are in that book will be saved. Is that a place where you want to be? That's a place where I want to be. I want my name in the book of life. There's a book out there called Who's Who. Yes? And a lot of intellectual people, a lot of successful people, a lot of people in music and art and science and math, they have their name there. And that's a good place to have your name. But the best place is in the book of life. And imagine these last words, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Can you imagine Jesus in the heavenly courts talking to the heavenly Father, talking to the angels, and saying, have you noticed my son Brian? Have you noticed him? Have you noticed my daughter Talisha? Have you noticed my son Manny? Have you noticed my daughter Betsy? And when he's talking about us, it's in a positive way. They're dressed with the garment that I gave them. They have nothing to be ashamed. They're doing the things I've asked them to do. And again, because I hold them in my hands. They're there. They're moving forward because they are in my hands. Is that a message for us today, brothers and sisters? I don't know what New Year's resolutions you have, but I just want to keep that garment on. I want to keep it clean by the grace of God. I want to be watchful. I want to pray. I want to stay connected to the one source of life, Jesus Christ. It's the only way how we're going to be in that banquet. There's no other way. He paid the price. He paid what money could never buy. All the money of the world could never buy what Jesus Christ has given you and me. And when all this is said and done, he's only going to say, come, let's go for a walk. Let's continue doing what we were doing back on planet Earth. Because you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Because worthy is the Lamb. Amen.